Hope everyone's doing great and not sure what happened to the weather, you know, but we definitely live in Oklahoma. Anyone knows Oklahoma sign, you know, song where the wind comes rolling down the plains. You know, it's sweeping down the plains, whatever, but it's pretty windy out there, folks. And it's cold, but let's praise God. Tomorrow it'll probably change, I guess. Who knows? I haven't really checked the weather out. Amen. Well, it's so good to be here with you. I know a lot of folks are gone on spring break. That's okay. I guess they're breaking their spring or whatever they're doing. But it's good to be here with you. I just want to give a little report. This weekend, actually, I was preaching in Greensboro, North Carolina. Had a wonderful time this weekend. But over the weekend, I actually got an email from the faith office at the White House and telling me, asking if I would be there tomorrow, on Tuesday. So yesterday, I actually spent the day at the White House grounds at the faith office. And so we had the very first briefing to the very first pastors about what the faith office is going to be doing and things like that. And so so it's pretty awesome to know that faith is going to be a part of this administration, hopefully also future administrations as well. We don't work for the president. We don't work for the Democrats or Republicans. We work for Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. And so the faith office, obviously we believe that this nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And we also believe that as we write current policy and new policy, that the voice of the Christian need to be heard. And so that's what we endeavor to do. They have identified me as somebody who can help bring what we believe to them, as well as be a mouthpiece for the faith office to like a liaison between the faith office and the Rhema family, or you might call the Word of Faith churches around the world. We had about 100 pastors there yesterday. It was pretty awesome. Actually, the song we just got to singing, Paula White's obviously over the faith office, if you don't know that per se, but actually she put it up on Instagram. I haven't had a chance to put anything up yet, but her husband, Jonathan Cain, who's from Journey, for some of you who like the band Journey, and so he was leading us in that same song that we just got done. So it's pretty awesome to be able to sing praise and worship at the White House. But it's awesome. You know, great things are happening. And like I said, it's a great day. Amen. Amen. So we are in a two-part faith series. We started last week. And I just want to remind you, last week we read from Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's so important to continue to hear the Word of God. If we want to continue to build up our faith, we have to continue to hear what God is saying and doing. And, one way that we can hear the Word, though, is not just hearing someone preach, but also reading the Word of God. Because obviously when you read the Word, you hear the Word as well. And we talked about the story where a man that has been crippled from his mother's womb showed up at one of Paul's meetings and walked out of the place completely well because he heard the Word. And he heard the Word and faith came in. And when faith came in, Paul immediately saw that and told him to stand up on his feet. Now, then we went to Hebrews chapter 1, and that's where we're going to start today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, and it says this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When faith comes in, it's always now. Faith is immediate. We have it by faith. Now, we might not see it naturally, but it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. My faith is the evidence of what I'm trusting God for. I don't have to see the evidence. I know the evidence because I believe. All right? And I put my faith in God. Here's the thing. Like I said, I've said it many times. Faith, according to the dictionary, or Webster's New World Dictionary, 7th edition, the one I read from, faith is an unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. An unquestioning belief does not require proof or evidence. You can also find definition at yourdictionary.com. Not dictionary.com, but yourdictionary.com. Now, what is an unquestioning belief? That means if you have questions, you're not in faith. So many times that we think we're in faith, but we're actually in questions. If you've ever asked God, God, why is this not happening? That's a question. God, when is this going to happen? That's a question. You know, there is no who, what, when, where, why with God. Because see, when faith comes in, you have it immediately. Now, you might not see it, but you have it. And that's faith. Faith is having something you do not see. Like I said, an unquestioning belief without any proof or evidence. My faith is my evidence. I don't need evidence. All right? Because my faith is in God. And if God cannot do it, then who can? Who can? You know, actually, for whatever reason, sometimes we have more faith in natural men than we do God himself. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, you know, obviously, you know, a guy that's in the news quite a bit here recently, I guess he's the richest guy in the world, Elon Musk. If Elon came in here today, and we all know he has billions of dollars, right? I mean, he came in today and says, hey, I want to give everybody $1 million. Plus, we probably start a Holy Ghost meeting if that happened, you know. Everyone would be pretty excited. But because he has the wherewithal to do it, and if he came up here and admitted he was going to do it, you know, you'd all believe him. Why? Because he could do it. So why can't we believe God? Why can't we believe God? Why can't we believe the Word? Because our God is greater than any person, you know, on this universe. You know, and the deal is, the reason we have trouble believing God is one reason and one reason only, called the devil himself. We've all seen the cartoons, right? Angel on one shoulder, devil on the other shoulder. The devil's over telling, you know, this is not going to happen, that's not going to happen, things like that. Now, that is real life, except for the angel's not on your shoulder. The Spirit of living God's on the inside. And when the devil says, well, you know, that's not going to happen, instead of saying, well, when is that going to happen, Lord? What we need to be doing, you know, what does God's Word say? The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. See, there is no question whether it will happen or not. Now, when it comes to healing, you know, the Bible already says that by his stripes we were healed. So when did you get healed? When the stripes were laid on his back. Well, when was that? Roughly 2,000 years ago. If you got healed 2,000 years ago, then why are you asking whenever you're going to get healed? Because you got healed 2,000 years ago. Well, yeah, but I don't see my healing. That doesn't mean it didn't happen 2,000 years ago. What it means is the way we receive anything from the Lord, whether it's salvation, healing, finances, or anything, is through our faith. We have to believe. Now, here's the thing. Not only did that happen 2,000 years ago, and we read about that, 700 years before it happened, Isaiah the prophet actually tells us it's going to happen. So, and if I was asked, most Christians, or at least, you know, what I consider a word of faith Christian that believes in healing, when were we healed? And most of you would say 2,000 years ago. By his stripes, we were healed. Now, what does that mean? Well, whenever we pray or whenever we ask the Lord for something, we have it then. Yeah, but we don't see it. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's what the Word says. The Word says we don't have to see it, we have to know it. See, now faith is, when faith comes in, it's there now. Well, what happens when the devil said, well, where is it? You say, don't worry about it. See, that's the thing is you know, when the devil tries to ask us where it is, instead of saying, well, God, why is this not happening yet? So start complaining to the Lord. What we need to do is resist the devil. The Bible clearly says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you don't resist the devil, he's not fleeing from you. He's going to keep tapping you on the shoulder. Say, I don't see it. Well, it's not for you to see. What do you believe? Once again, you know, we all know the statement. If you don't know the statement, go out there and get the t-shirt. You know, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. What does the Word of God say? Well, the Word of God says that faith is now. Now, see, hope, on the other hand, is in the future. All right? When we hope for something, see, a lot of people, they want to be in faith, but they're in hope. They're hoping and praying it's going to happen. No, don't be hoping and praying it's going to happen. Believe that you receive your answer. Now, here's the thing, like I said, the devil is going to tell you it's not there yet. Now, you say, well, that wasn't the devil, that was my mother-in-law. Here's the thing. Certain people are going to, do you understand, we live in a real natural world, all right? And so certain people are going to ask you questions like, well, I don't see it yet. Well, just because you don't see it yet doesn't mean I need to lose my faith over it. See, according to the dictionary, faith is unquestioning belief. There is no question whether it's going to manifest in my life or not. I mean, the only reason it won't manifest is because I stopped believing. All right, which brings me once again to Jonathan Cain, Journey song. Don't stop believing. All right? It's actually my ringtone, by the way. Because we can't stop believing. We never stop believing. We never stop. It doesn't matter who says what. It doesn't matter, you know, who, what, when, where. None of those things matter. My faith is my answer. It's the answer. You know, but a lot of people, they say, well, I'm believing I'm going to get my healing. Well, what? You're believing you're going to get something that you already have according to the Word of God? The Bible says you have been healed. Now, here's the thing. I want to bring this up, and I've been bringing it up more recently because there are some times that we sometimes, you know, say things that are not a faith statement, and then we kind of get mad at ourselves. You know, why'd you do that? You know, but we all do it, all right? Just because you say something that's not a faith statement doesn't mean you can't take that back. And to give you a great example, because, you know, there's probably no better example than to use my grandfather as an example. And back in, can't remember what year it was. That wasn't up to me to remember what year. I know he'll remember what year, what day, whatever. I'm almost positive it was a Saturday. That's all that really matters. Some year. And it was Indianapolis, Indiana, at the Hyatt Hotel. That's all I really know. We're right across from the Indianapolis Convention Center, getting ready to start a meeting. We're eating lunch. My grandmother didn't go on the meeting because she was having some health issues. And it was just me and my grandfather. I had a bowl of tomato soup in front of me. I took a bite, a slurp, or whatever you do with a spoonful of soup when you put it in your mouth. And my grandfather uttered these words, Craig, I'm worried about your grandmother. When she said, I'm worried about your grandmother, I almost spit the soup out of myself, him, everybody else, because I never heard him utter the word worry in my entire life. You know, I mean, so, you know, that really, you know, was strange. But the next three words out of his mouth were no, no, no. He says, no, 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 I'm not worried, but I am concerned. And he went on to talk about how that the Lord had revealed to him that my grandmother is going to have to get this on her own faith. She's going to get her healing on her own faith. And he was concerned about her weakness of, you know, the state of a life she was in. She was kind of very weak and going through a, you know, a faith battle. And the point is that when he did that, that also showed me, you know, my sister calls it a teachable moment, that, you know what, when we say something that doesn't line up with God's word, we can take that back. It also showed me what happened is when he said something that didn't line up with God's word, all of a sudden, an alarm went off on the inside. You know, and he took that back. So we should have that same alarm. Now, sometimes it's going to take practice, but when we say things that are anti the word of God, then we should be checked in our right down here and say no. You know, so when we begin to question whether, you know, well, why haven't we seen the answer? That's not faith. Now, here's the thing. Maybe your alarm won't go off, or maybe has anyone ever slept through their alarm or snoozed it like 18 times or things like that? You know, maybe you're snoozing your faith alarm here. You know, you kind of turn it down, but what, you know, whatever. But sometimes it might take you a day or so, before you realize, hey, I'm not walking in faith right now. But, you know, just get back. God, I'm sorry. You said in your word that you're going to take care of it. So, you know, the Bible says to cast your cares upon you, and I'm casting my cares upon you. And I believe that you're taking care of it. Here's the other side about it is, if he's not taking care of it, you're probably, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, because a lot of times when we know we can't do anything, that's when we finally put our faith out for something. All right. But, you know, the New Living Translation of Hebrews 11:1 says it this way, which is kind of like, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. But I like what the Amplified Classic Version says, and I didn't realize there was a non-classic version of the Amplified Version of the Bible, but anyway, it says this: now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So faith perceiving as real fact. So our senses do not see it, but our faith has it. Now, I like to back up where the word, it says, it's the now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, and it says the title deed. Now, we use the word title and the word deed in a legal sense. Usually when it comes to a car, you use the word title. You know, you have a title to your car. You know, that title lists your name on there as the owner of the car. It also might list the finance company's name on there as the co-owner of the car. You know, same way, you know, when it comes to our house, we have what we call it a deed. You know, it's a deed saying that this house belongs to me, and also, you know, so when you have the title or you have the deed, it belongs to you. Now, I'm using the word title, obviously for a car. So here's the thing, you know, these are the keys to my car. If I was to tell Brother Billy down here, hey, Billy, why don't you use my car for a month, and I throw him the keys, I'm not going to do it, but if I throw him my keys, then Billy would have access to my car for a month because he has the keys. That means he can drive the car. He has a right to drive the car because he has my keys. Now, but what Billy doesn't have is my title. Billy doesn't own my car. All right? He just has the opportunity to drive it for a short time. So after the month is over, I said, Brother Billy, I want my keys back. I want my car. And he says, no, I like your car. I'm going to keep it. I have the keys. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. So, you know. So what I would do is go to the authorities and says, this guy stole my car. And they say, well, did you break in? No, I gave him the keys. But he won't give it back. So just because he has the keys, he still doesn't own my car, because I have the title. And I can go to the authorities and say, you go get my car back, you know, and you know, because I own that car, and they will, because I have the title. I have the piece of paper that says that car is mine. So what this verse is saying is when your faith comes in, the piece of paper shows up. You have the title. It belongs to you. You might not see. So when Billy has the car, I didn't see the car he had. He's on his driveway somewhere, wherever he lives, you know, but it's still mine. Well, if I have the piece of paper, it's mine, even though I don't see it. I have it. I have the title deed. You know, and people say, well, I guess you don't have it. No, I got the title. It's mine. Well, no, I don't see it. Doesn't matter whether you see it or not. I have the title deed. It belongs to me. That's my faith. It belongs to me. Why? Because the Bible says so. What's better than the Bible saying so? You know, it's mine. Now, see, here's the thing, is that whenever you're putting what I call a faith project out there, I mean, if you don't believe it's going to happen, then you're not using your faith. You either believe you have it or you don't believe you have it. Amen. And a lot of times what happens is we don't believe we have it. We're hoping it might happen. We're hoping and praying it might happen. No, we have to believe. The Bible says only believe. All things are possible to them that believes. Mark 9:23. All right, only believe. Now, if all things are possible to them that believes, then nothing is possible to them that don't believe. Where are you at? Are you at the all things or are you at the no things? All things are possible if you believe. So the question is, do you believe it or not? Or like I said, the Shakespeare gospel, to believe or not to believe, that's the real question. That's the question. When you stand praying, did you believe? Now see, when people come down well, it doesn't have to be Sunday morning, but come down to receive salvation, they believe that Jesus came into their hearts. I mean, that from a simple standpoint, you know, we say that. Well, you know what? We might be sitting here watching them. We didn't see Jesus fly down from heaven and land in their heart, did we? Well, but they believe that he dwells on the inside. Well, why do we believe? Because that's our faith. People don't have trouble believing that they got saved. People have trouble believing that that same faith can heal you. One reason is because we like to put things on a scale. You know, if you need a stage 5 healing, that's big, folks. And so we have to use triple faith or quadruple faith or 5 times faith. If you have a stage 1 sickness, you know, like a cold, well, that's not that big a deal. The same faith that heals you from a cold heals you from cancer. Now your brain will think, I have to have more faith for cancer. Man, it's hard to have cancer faith. How am I going to have cancer faith? Well, I mean, Jesus didn't tell us, like I said, well, we're fixing to read Mark chapter 11. His first thing was move a mountain. He wasn't saying, hey, when you're sneezing too much or whatever. He said, hey, you know, if you move a mountain, if you believe, you're going to see a mountain move. I mean, it is impossible. We don't have to have more faith because we have a greater sickness. See, we put things on scales. I mean, we have a Richter scale when it comes to earthquakes. Here in Oklahoma, we have the tornado scale, the F 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And if you watch the movie Twister or the movie Twisters, you can see those things in action. You know, here's the thing. If you've ever been doing tornado work and someone says, you know, you're like, oh, it's only an F3. At least your house is partially here. I mean, you know, it's not really that good news. I've seen people with F3s crying about over the house and see people with F5, but they didn't have a house. So, you know, scales doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter how big or how small you need. I mean, our God is able. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24 says this. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say unto you, or say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So right here, Jesus basically says, he tells everybody that whoever says to this mountain. Now the reason I want to point out that he says whoever, or you know, King James is whosoever, is he didn't say this is only for the disciples. He said this is for whoever. Now that's pretty important because many people says, well, you know, when Jesus was talking here, he was only talking to his disciples, and it was only about them. I guess, you know, no one told the Apostle Paul later on that didn't affect him, you know, because obviously it's whoever says to the mountain. Now, I believe that it's, a lot of us, we don't think about it because we're so used to reading the scripture. Do you realize that Jesus pointed to a literal mountain and it says, whoever says to this mountain, you know, be moved and cast into the sea. I mean, you know, that's pretty much, it's, if we were to physically move a mountain with, you know, dynamite, bulldozers, all kinds of equipment, it still would take a lot of work to actually physically move a mountain with all the equipment that we know and throw it into a sea. All right? But he's saying, you know, if you do that, it will happen. Now, the reason I believe that he points to that, he's trying to say, you know what? I don't care how impossible your situation is. Because really, he's showing you, he's talking about an impossible situation. I mean, that doesn't happen. All right? I mean, mountains don't move and thrown into a sea. Now, we don't really think about that because our mind's so used to reading these scriptures that we don't even comprehend how impossible that is. And that's, you know, we should comprehend because when we're facing an impossible situation, we should know that we serve the God of the impossible. Man's impossibility, God's possibility. Luke 18:27. That's my dad's favorite scripture, actually. You know, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Now, here's the thing is, you're probably, unless you work for the highway department, you probably don't need to move a physical mountain. All right? And if you work for the highway department, they're going to give you the tools to move that mountain. All right? But you know, the thing about it is what we have, you know, mountains, you know, spiritual mountains. It might be a physical mountain because you have sickness or disease in your body. But you know what? The Bible says to keep speaking to your mountain. It talks about three times about you speaking. Whatever you say with your mouth, when you believe in your heart. Now, you have to believe it, but you also have to say it. You're going to have whatever you say. So what are you saying? What are you speaking? What words are you speaking? What words are you saying? Because a lot of times that we're saying things that we don't want. You know, I've heard people gripe about the economy, and I guess the economy's not good. But you know what? Our God is good. Well, I never have enough money. I never do this. I never, you know, the more you talk about, the less you'll have. You know what? You know, we should be talking about how good our God is, how we always having all sufficiency in everything, how that we serve the God that's more than enough, how we serve El Shaddai. You know, and it's not, you know, not El Broco. Our God wants to provide. Our God shall supply all our needs according to the riches of glory by Christ Jesus. When our needs go up, so does his supply. And you know what? Our needs are not always financial needs. Sometimes we need healing. Sometimes we need wisdom. Sometimes we need a hug. Our God shall supply all our needs. But the point is, too, and I only have 4 minutes here, is that when Jesus was talking about saying to a mountain, and many of us, we understand the saying part. What we forget about is Mark 11:22. The Bible says, have faith in God. When we're speaking to our mountains, our faith has to be in God. It's our faith cannot be in ourselves. It can't be in our pastor. It can't be in whoever told you to speak to the mountain. We have to put our faith in God. Sometimes we forget about putting our faith in God. But the Bible says, have faith in God. Now, my grandfather always kind of considered that the no-duh thing. I mean, who's not going to have faith in God? Well, we live in the 21st century. We have to be told. Put your faith in God, then speak to the mountain. All right? Going back to the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust to the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now, it says that put your 100%, or I like to say 110% trust in the Lord. If God can't do it, I don't know who can. But I like the part, next part, it says lean not to your own understanding, because see, we'll have lots of opportunities to try to understand it. So when people say, I don't understand faith, that means they got it. Well, what do you mean? Well, I don't understand. You don't have to understand how it's going to work. It's not for you to figure out, Jesus didn't say, speak to your mountain and figure out how it's going to move. He gave you three things. Put your faith in God, speak to your mountain, believe, and have what you say. He didn't tell you to figure it out. He didn't tell you to try to understand how your mountain's going to move. See, that's his part. Your part's just to speak. Your part's to line up with God's word. His part is to move the mountain. Now, the reason that we ask God questions is because we're trying to figure out how he's going to move our mountain, because it seems impossible. Now, here's the thing. Once again, you're not moving your mountain. Your faith is in God. God's moving your mountain. You're not supposed to lean to your own resolution. Don't worry about it. That's the thing. Whenever you're praying, well, God, how are you going to do that? Don't worry about it. Well, God, when's it going to happen? Don't worry about it. Well, how? Don't worry about it. Now, a number of years ago, I figured this out, why we are so caught up with trying to figure these things out. It's your math teacher, your science teacher, but math teacher especially, because the answer to the odd problems were in the back of your math book. Most of you know that. That's why your math teacher was always pretty adamant. In fact, I actually preached on this weekend. There was a math teacher that was sitting out in the audience, and she said, absolutely, if you don't show your work, you're not going to get the problem right. So we were told that we always have to show our work, even when we already have the answer. Because the answer is X equals 3, Y equals 5. Well, how did you get that? Well, I had to show my work. The problem is we already have the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer for the world today, above the earth and weather. Jesus is the way. We sing the song. So we have the answer, Jesus. When you have the answer, you have no problem, because you either have a problem or you have the answer. Whenever we have the answer, we have no problem. But we make the problem because we're like, we can't just have the answer. We got to show our work. So how are we going to show our work? We're going to start leaning to our own understanding and trying to figure out how the answer is going to solve our problem. And it doesn't work out that way, because when you have the answer, you have no problem. You just have the answer. It doesn't matter how it works. We have I was going to say CD series, but now hardly anyone has CD players on MP3 series, whatever. We have a series called Faith That Works. On the cover, there's a light bulb illuminated that's not plugged into a light socket. Why? Because I helped create the cover. I know what it looks like. All right? Because we're trying to figure out how do we explain faith that works? Well, faith works when it even looks like it's impossible. It just works. Faith just works every time. You don't have to figure out how it works. It just works. It just works. You just believe. Only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. You just trust God. Lean not to your own understanding. So that's where we need to be. We don't have to show our work. It's not up to us. It's above our pay grade. All we have to do is put our faith in God, speak to our mountain, believe it's going to happen, or believe it has happened by faith, and have what we say. Now, I don't know when the evidence is coming, but my faith is the evidence. When I speak the word, it's as good as done. I have it now. Because now faith is. Now, I don't have it when I get it. I have it now because, whether I see it, whether I don't see it, it doesn't matter. And if you have to see something, then upload some kind of, whatever, wallpaper on your device or whatever, so you can see what you're believing God for, you can see it because you don't see it physically right now. But you know what? Just because I don't see it doesn't mean I don't believe it. How many of you have seen God? We haven't seen God. We still believe him, right? So you're capable of believing something that exists. I mean, how many have seen your brain? Hopefully no one's here seen their brain. You might have seen a brain scan. I haven't seen my brain. I've seen plenty of scans of my brain. It's a very huge brain. Very smart. Very, very, I don't know. But I've seen scans of my brain. Haven't seen my brain. Don't want to see my brain, because I've seen my brain, that means my skull cracked open. But anyway, I believe anyway. This is simple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's in this room. Father God, help us to understand that whenever we put our faith in God, whenever we speak the word, and we believe that we're going to have what we say. Devil, you have no right, you have no authority to try to take away our faith from us. And we thank you, Father, to help us to continue to hear messages on faith. Help us continue to build our faith up on a daily basis. So we just pray a special blessing over each and every person that's in this room and each and every person that's watching online. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's all stand up. Praise God. God is a good God. Well, the way we do things on Wednesday night, if you happen to be here and you need prayer for any reason, whether it's salvation, healing, or whatever you might need prayer for, we have some gentlemen over here, some ladies over there. If you happen to be a lady, go visit the ladies. If you happen to be a gentleman, go visit the gentleman, and they'll pray with you for any situation. All right? If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you with us tonight. The Connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you back and give you a gift that we have for you. And like I said, if you live in this area and you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. If you're traveling from out of town, we want to say whenever you're in town again, you know, make this your church home away from home. Amen? Well, praise God. God bless you. Take care. We'll see you back here on Sunday morning.